Here it is, Tom Parry. It is the E3 podcast we promised. It's Tom and Matt Attack. So, no time for how's you doing and all that jazz. You're good, I'm good. Let's get into it, Tom.
Well, you assume that, Matthew.
Well, I've talked with you before the podcast.
I am.
Good. We are good. It is all good. Right.
What do you think of E3 in general?
Some surprises. To be honest with you, generally quite underwhelmed by what is on offer.
I would second that myself. Yeah.
Should we go through it? Press conference by press conference.
I think that would make a lot of sense.
Let's do that then. Tom Parry, start us off.
Which one came first? I can't remember.
I do know which came first. It was EA, yeah.
Nothing comes to mind.
Nothing comes to mind, really, of that entire presentation.
Remind me.
There was the new game from the people who were Dom Brothers. Which is a Prison Break style game.
A Way Out.
Called A Way Out, yes.
Yes, I do remember that one.
A cooperative experience, through and through. You will be playing that game in co-op, whether it's online or on the couch, as they
prefer. There is no single player option for the game.
There is no single player option for that game. It is meant to be played in co-op. Actually meant to be played couch co-op, which is quite interesting, instead of split screen dynamic.
Very unusual to find that nowadays. Not even most modern racing games have split screen anymore.
No, as we found out the hard way a couple of months ago, having a Halo night, not even Halo 5 offers proper split-screen multiplayer anymore, which is shocking.
Yeah, so great to see something like that coming back. I love a co-op experience. I like the concept of a Prison Break game.
Yeah.
I guess The Escapist did it as well recently, but that was...
Yes, it did.
Not that recently. But this is your proper high-fidelity graphics experience.
It looks
the part.
Yeah.
Hopefully it plays the part as well.
Well, fingers crossed. I mean, from my perspective for EA, it was perhaps the most underwhelming of the press conferences. The sports stuff was there. This was the newest thing for me. And, I mean, yeah, they're going to do some nice stuff with Battlefront, from the looks of things. Battlefront 2, the cinematic story mode.
Okay, the new footage they showed of Battlefront 2 was exciting. I was very happy to see Battle Droids. I think that was one of my hopes for E3.
Yeah.
I saw a quick clip of some Battle Droids and thought, I hope we get to play as them. And you do.
You do.
There's a whole battle going on in Theed. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah,
the capital city of Naboo.
Yes.
And it'll look very exciting, lovely, to see them address the missing prequel stuff.
It looked all right. Yeah, I mean, showing all of the troopers and stuff and saying, hey, you'd be able to play as clones, you'd be able to play as this, you'd be able to play as that. Some of the starfighting stuff around the asteroid fields also look kind of cool when you're flying in ships.
Regardless what you think of the prequels as films, there's a lot of great design work in there and a lot of great characters and vehicles. And the ability to control those in this game is wonderful.
The whole...
Music's great in the prequels as well, so I hope there'll be that in spades.
To be honest with you, most of the design in the prequels is beautiful. Mm. It just... The plot of those movies isn't that great in comparison to the originals. It's not got the whimsy. It's more about politics, as everyone knows. I'm not going to bitch about the prequel trilogy on this podcast.
There'll be a politics minigame.
Oh, God.
Add-on content.
Could you imagine?
Debate.
Yeah. There's a Senate mode. Oh, great. That would be an amazing April Fool's joke for them to play.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet about that and hope they pick up on it. I think they delivered the actual, like, the news about Battlefront 2 in a good way as well. That whole, the actor who played...
She's quite scary, isn't she?
No. Very I mean, did you see the thing with the tweets? With
I just saw her come on stage. Who's playing
the female lead.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there was a tweet from the actor who played Finn, whose name escapes
John
me.
Boyega, and yes. He was saying
hey, is there going to be a story mode? And then all the retweets and all the abuse that EA was getting for that.
I
thought that was pretty clever. All in all, though, I think that was pretty much it for EA. So let's move on to...
Well, they had Need for Speed with that awkward moment from the guy, the YouTuber. I'm a YouTube creator.
Oh, God, yeah, there was a lot of that in EA's thing. So even with Battlefront...
There's a game, I got the producer of the game. you're the producer, just show the game. Yeah.
I quite like the guys talking about FIFA. I would watch their YouTube channel.
I missed that.
Yeah, there was two very enthusiastic British gentlemen talking about football and FIFA.
And the story mode on FIFA.
No, just they do a podcast that is about football, and also they do a regular YouTube thing with celebrities like Kevin Bacon on FIFA. Okay. I think they may be something to do with it. Yeah.
So they did well there, they getting did. Those guys.
Yeah.
Some of the other guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not so much. They were all right. Yeah, other than that, I can't really think of anything. Like I said, Battlefield maps look kind of cool.
Still playing that Battlefield?
Yeah, still playing Battlefield on a weekly basis. So good. Some new maps would be nice. The French ones they did last expansion were good. So we'll see how it goes. Then on to Bethesda.
Bethesda, all right.
Which for me was a completely underwhelming conference also. Except for one thing, Tom.
Wolfenstein. Yeah. They really gave a lot of time to Wolfenstein, didn't they?
I've talked at great length on this podcast of how I kind of felt a bit squiff playing New Order recently.
Yeah, you weren't so sure about it. No. I've had a great experience with it so far, and I realised it was a much longer game than I thought.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just felt paint-by-numbers shooting Nazis, and I think... To me, yeah. I've played many a Wolfenstein game. I've played many a game where you are the left wing of justice against the right... going against the Reich and beating them and all this. So I was just like, I this feels very much what I would expect of this kind of game for me. Like, at the time, perhaps not. But I think even things like Bioshock have kind of got veins of that running through them. And I felt I was just running through areas.
But now, I guess you're more excited about the premise of the new Wolfenstein.
I am. I'm kind of curious to see what happened to Blazkowicz at the end of that game, because there's a very finite end to Wolfenstein New Order, shall we say. So it's very interesting in that regard. Him changing the idea of him being a father and them actually adding some grounding to BJ Blazkowicz is insane, but kind of interesting. And also,
he always had some great cutscenes and writing, and the story was one of the highlights, wasn't it, of Wolfenstein.
But they've got so many weird things going on. Like, the Beatles are in this game, but like the German Beatles, as if they never left Germany. And apparently Jimi Hendrix is part of, like...
They're having some fun playing with the humour.
Yeah.
Possibilities of what they can do.
I was like, okay, this looks interesting. And then that scene where it was clearly the guy tripping on acid with an animated chameleon.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I need to buy this game. I don't care. Like, I will play it for oddball stuff like this.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, Fallout in VR. Don't care about Fallout.
Doom in VR. Blah.
But it's not even Doom. It's like a shooting gallery from the looks of things where you teleport around. It's not the same experience.
It's not the full game. That would be pretty intense if it was.
It would, yeah. I mean, you would just spew everywhere. You would literally need a bag strapped to your face and look like one of the enemies from Quake 4.
Yeah, so nothing.
No, nothing
getting
really.
Getting you too excited.
No,
there.
Quake Arena. Not Quake Arena. Champions. I said that last thing. Quake Champions. Looks all right. That Link in Skyrim looks horrific.
Well, it's typical. I guess you could have expected that.
You should have, but that's how it goes. I didn't watch any of Devolver Digital, to be honest, because they came somewhere
either,
in between.
I'm afraid.
Apparently, they didn't really announce any games. They kind of just did a weird press conference about press conferences and, like, satirizing press conferences, which is a bit odd. So on to Yubi, who, for me...
Aren't you missing... You're leaving Microsoft till later.
I'm going to leave Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo for their own things.
Okay, fair enough. Ubisoft, yes.
Ubisoft.
The family company.
The family company. And for me, the most interesting presentation of E3.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo included. I have to be honest. I think...
I must admit, I didn't see all the Ubisoft presentation. Just the fact I happened to tune in and there was Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah. I texted you in massive excitement.
I didn't see that. Until the next morning.
No? Okay.
But I did happen to stumble upon the press conference as they were unveiling Beyond Good and Evil 2, which, as somebody pointed out in IGN, actually, would make a much better title would be Before Good and Evil.
Yeah, it would have.
Because it's a prequel, isn't it?
Well, I guess they're just calling it Beyond Good and Evil 2 for now, like much in the same way that Nintendo called it Kirby or Yoshi. I assume a subtitle.
I mean, it
later.
Definitely does create headlines, doesn't it? It does. The name... Beyond Good and Evil 2.
This is what, the third time they've announced this game now? This is the third trailer, I think.
It looks
we've
a little
seen.
Different.
Yeah, very. Lots of swearing.
Yeah, the swearing was surprising. They really went for the swearing.
They did. Many an F-bomb dropped in that trailer.
But the concept is open world. Is that correct? Multiplayer.
That way.
A big adventure which you could play with other people.
Yes.
But they did show very little. They didn't show any gameplay footage.
No,
and they said very little
trailer.
About what the game was actually going to play like. But it looks charming. The cinematic they showed was high end.
Like, could have been an animated movie high end.
Yeah,
it's very interesting.
Next Zelda Alex, it's not a game.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just a movie. To be honest with you, I'd kind of be okay with that at this point.
Mm.
But well, see how it goes. I mean, obviously, Mario, Rabbids, XCOM.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching the behind the scenes on that.
Yeah.
With the studio in Italy doing a Mario game. I thought that was quite fun.
Yeah, yeah.
That idea. And they seem to have done something quite intriguing. But you say XCOM.
It looks like XCOM. It looks
hiding behind boxes.
Hiding behind like half cover and stuff, which is all terms from XCOM. You know, Mario is shooting a person with a gun, which is something that I never thought I would see.
It's something, isn't it? It's a point.
It is.
But there's so much humour in this game that I guess you can maybe look over the fact that Mario's shooting things. He does, you know, attack things himself. So.
He does, yeah. I mean, you know, he's not above hitting someone with a hammer or jumping on someone's head, which, you know, is pretty much football hooliganry, right? It's like jumping on someone's head or dropping your ass on someone. But, you know, it's Mario. It's what he does.
I loved the animation, loved the visuals.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that gameplay concept holds up. I've heard very little about how it actually plays.
I've heard a few people
enjoyed it.
Giant Bomb and Waypoint and things, and they seem to like the game. They seem to think it's pretty good.
Mm.
For me, actually, one of the most interesting things about their presentation was Starlink. Their to life thing with spaceships.
Yeah, I didn't see that bit.
As you know, Tom Parry, I like spaceships. Essentially, what it is they've made like a Joy-Con grip for the Switch version of it, where you slot in the Joy-Cons down the side, and then it's connected, and you have this spaceship on your controller, and then you swap in bits and bobs. You can like put shields and guns.
That's nice.
And
it's right in front of you.
Pilots
physically on the controller.
Yeah, exactly.
It's unique.
None of the standard fare for Toys to Life of getting up. Putting a portal, blah, blah, blah.
Because, you know, sometimes I think about playing Skylanders and then I think, nah, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Can't bother to get all the things out, set them all out, plug the portal in.
If you're key to laziness like myself for dimensions and everything else, like I had a USB extender, so that portal was literally right next to me, so I could just
even when the portal's right next to me, I still got to plug it in.
Oh, gosh, Tom Parry.
I still got to find all the right Skylanders and remember what levels they all are. And, I can't.
For regular people, Tom Parry, I have like 5 Skylanders, and so I know what levels they are. I don't have the entire assortment.
Got a few.
Yeah, but that looked good. Gameplay was very light. I haven't really actually seen that much of it.
Is it a space combat?
It seems that way, yeah. Game. It seems like it's almost like a flight simulator kind of shooting in space. Almost a bit Rogue Squadron, I guess, in some parts, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
But this is just from a brief trailer. And this is my summarization. Maybe it's something else entirely.
Will that go down well with kids, do you think? Spaceships?
I don't care. I will buy it myself. I will play it to death. I will buy all of the spaceship bits because I like spaceships. And they are good-looking spaceships.
Well, I mean, who'd say kids don't like spaceships nowadays?
I think
I'm sure they probably will. But without that character associated, or maybe within the game there's characters associated with
the
ships.
You are the last starfighter, you know. It's you, Tom. You are the pilot.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly. Okay. Tom Parry starring in Ubisoft Starlink.
Oh, wow.
There were some other things about that press conference.
The Crew 2?
Crew 2. Looks
which
right.
Actually looked rather interesting. Never played the original Crew, but this looks to have loads and loads of vehicles.
Yeah.
I saw very little of the Crew 2, that's
actually
all I can say.
I was actually sold more on Need for Speed than the Crew 2.
Oh, really?
Need for Speed looks so much like Fast and Furious, I need to be a part of it.
The Crew 2 looks like what Criterion were starting to develop.
Yes.
It got cancelled, which was a multi-vehicle open-world racing game.
Yeah. See what goes. Assassin's Creed looks all right. Looks like an Assassin's Creed game.
I haven't heard anyone really get very excited about Assassin's Creed yet, just that
I love the franchise. I will end up buying it anyway, but I'm not bowled over by it, to be totally honest.
Do you think the film did any damage to the franchise?
I think maybe it's time to put Assassin's Creed to bed. I don't think I need to know the origins. Well, actually, if this was the last Assassin's Creed, I'd be pretty happy with that, but it's not going to be. You and I know they're going to be working on another one, surely. Like, if you've taken a year off to invest in this game, you're trying to make it as
medieval.
Good. It's in Egypt.
Yeah, no, but if they do another one after the Egypt one, I'm jumping ahead now.
Well, maybe it's futuristic. Maybe it's set in the real world. Who knows? But that's Watch Dogs, so there you
go. They said they're going to change up the gameplay somewhat. There's no mini-map, apparently, in the footage they showed, but that could just be the fact that...
Yeah, there's lots of RPG things, and there's also, like, hey, you need a level 14 bow to kill this opponent, and I'm like, I don't like the combat in Assassin's Creed anyway. If you're making it more tedious than it already was, then I'm probably not going to fight people.
Mm.
And I mean, maybe that's the thing. Maybe they are trying to introduce stealth by, like, hey, you can't kill these people. Like, they're way too powerful.
Great setting, though.
I think. Looks nice cool. Choice. I mean, I like the art style. Yeah. The fact that they have the drone from Ghost Recon Wildlands in the form of the bird, though, is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But there we go. It's Ubisoft, right? They're just trying to compile everything that they've made into one game.
No, that would be a solid quality product, as they normally deliver. Sure.
I'm going to definitely buy that Just Dance 2018 as well, obviously. Having those weird dancers on stage really sold that to me, as it does every year. On to the big guns, Tom Parry, because we're running tight on time.
The big guns. It's the first of which was Microsoft.
The first of which was Microsoft, yeah.
Which, you know, game after game, I was interested.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, I just wrote a quick list of what I saw in that trailer. Actually, first of all, I didn't actually watch a press conference.
Yeah,
I just watched a compiled clip of all the compiled clips of all the games.
To be honest with you, the press conference was pretty much just compiled clips of the games. So yeah, I'm quite curious.
Which
to see
is
how
great,
much time
you know. Sometimes
out.
That people. That's all you want. You don't want those awkward moments where they get a presenter up and they have these awkward exchanges. I think the Artful Escape looked really nice.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember that one, the guy with the guitar at the end?
The
whole, I don't know what it is.
I have no idea what it is, but it looked really pretty. Yeah.
And there's no release date on that when it's ready.
When it's goddamn ready, Tom.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But I just thought that looked fantastic. I liked the music. I liked the presentation, the journey. Yeah. It got me wondering what the hell that is.
Yeah.
Really like the look of that.
Yeah.
I like the look of Super Lucky's Tale because I love a good platformer.
Yeah.
I think that looked like a quality throwback platformer. Originally meant to be a VR game.
It was an Oculus Rift launch title. It was the exclusive you got with that.
It's already been released.
It came out as Lucky's Tale. This is Super Lucky's Tale, which is interesting to make the game.
I didn't
super,
know about the game
at
all
VR.
Until seeing it.
Yeah.
In E3. And I'll get that. I like it.
I hear
I like
that VR did absolutely nothing for it, so I'm assuming it's
probably
better.
I can't see how VR would, to be honest.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Dragon Ball Fighter Z.
I text you straight away because I was like, oh boy, if I know
blew
Tom
my
Harry,
mind.
We'll be interested
blew my
in something.
Mind. I'd just been playing Guilty Gear, one of the newer ones, and I was thinking how much I love that art style, that presentation. It looks like they've just applied that to Dragon Ball and made a 2D fighter, basically 2.5D, shall we say.
Yes.
The presentation looks beautiful. The fact that it's actually a one-on-one 2D fighter again is just so refreshing, because I don't think there's been one on the big consoles since Burst Limit on
the
PS.
Big consoles.
Yeah. I mean, there's been that one that Arc System Works did for the 3DS, which was a bit limited.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a lot to the combat, I didn't think.
No.
But this one looks, if it follows the Guilty Gear template, I think this could be the greatest Dragon Ball Z fighting game of all time.
It's not a very high bar, though, is it? Let's be totally honest.
There were some great... I think the original Budokai games were good. And I think there were some all right ones prior to that. Hyper Dimension on Super Nintendo was good. The Budokai ones were good. Yeah. I didn't like it when they switched behind view of the characters in Tenkaichi.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to see them switch it, and it looks amazing. And it's on PS4, I'm guessing, as well. It's not a Xbox exclusive.
I would assume so.
But it got a huge applause.
Yeah, because it looked cool. It's Arc System.
Everybody loves Dragon Ball, it would seem. The Last Knight. Now, that was that pixely one.
Oh, yes. Okay. The Blade crazy Runner-esque. One that looked like Flashback.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I'm totally on board with that game. That was perhaps my highlight of E3.
I thought that and The Artful Escape, just like really original titles, indie type titles. But
to be
with
honest, I completely forgot what The Last Knight was until you said the name of the title.
Good job I wrote it down.
Yeah, thank God.
Wonderful presentation. And if it is a Flashback type experience, it looks to be. Then
yeah, why not? Let's get on board with that.
Yeah. Black Desert was an RPG.
Yeah.
Massively multiplayer one. I don't know if that exists already
that
on PC.
That is a Korean MMO. Okay. Yeah, it's been around for a while.
The combat looked exciting.
It looked like Kingdom of Amalur to me.
It looked a little bit ropey, a little bit rough around the edges.
It's because it's a Korean RPG. there's lots of them in a similar light to that, but they're huge games.
But the action looked fun. Whether I'll play it, I don't think I will.
PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, Tom. It's all about PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
That's something I missed.
I don't have a PC to play PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. But
explain.
PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is Battle Royale in a third-person shooter.
Oh, that's
shooter.
That one. I thought that Darwin Project was that.
No. That's something else entirely. Because
it looks, doesn't it look similar in concept?
Yeah,
third
but that's like six,
deathmatch.
6v6.
Yeah.
PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is 100 people.
Oh, okay.
It looks amazing. I've heard nothing but positive praise from it from every video game thing I follow, and I'm
okay.
curious to get my
I
hands
should
on
check
it.
Out the video for that.
You
then.
Should, yeah.
That's the one you mentioned on the podcast.
Yes,
the
it is
week.
Indeed, yeah. And lo and behold, it appeared at E3 as a console exclusive. Yeah.
Great. So you're happy you're on Xbox now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I get to play that and Cuphead, which finally has a release date for
Cuphead
the 16th of September.
Has a release date. Did you notice anything, something like that? Do you notice anything from the footage that would imply it's more than just a boss rush now?
Yeah, it's got levels. Seemed that way. Yeah. There were enemies on paths walking back and forth, not just bosses.
Yeah.
There was also flying segments, which...
Yeah, I saw the flying segments.
Has me excited because I like on-rail shooters. Tacoma also was in that press conference.
Yeah, not sure what to make of that.
It's the next game from Gone Home, people. Gone Home is a very good game.
Really?
You should finally
it
play
was,
it.
It was a first-person space thing.
It's a walking simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In space.
Where you go on a spaceship and everyone on the spaceship is evacuated Marie Celeste style, so you need to go around and figure out what happened.
But a spaceship environment doesn't excite me in the same way a more real world. I mean, for example, Rapture has a great environment, and so does Firewatch.
So does Edith Finch, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of okay with them mixing up the setting because I've played nigh on like 20 walking simulators in the past 3 years. They're all being realistic settings.
Looked like Ender's Game a bit to me.
Yeah, it did. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Mm.
Anything else from Microsoft for you? Other than
there's got to have been something else from Microsoft.
Maybe a new
these
console.
Are the ones I wrote down. Oh, that thing.
Maybe a thing called an Xbox
oh,
One
yeah.
X.
Yeah.
Which is abbreviated to Xbox.
Now there was a lot of hype around this, the Scorpio, how powerful this thing would be.
Yeah.
To me, and this, it just seemed like it's offering the same sort of experience as the PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
This 4K gaming.
See, there's a difference. The Xbox One X is actually producing native 4K.
Okay.
It's rendering those games at that. It is genuinely a true 4K experience, whatever that means. The PS4 Pro is upscaling.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Also, they mentioned that this Xbox is... smaller.
Yes, it is. It's even smaller than the S. It's tiny.
Blows my mind.
Which is why it's £500.
Yeah.
Which is the big turn off for me because I'm like, well, cool. You got the most powerful console. Don't need to know if I need to spend £500 on it when I've bought.
It's
when
the
I bought...
same argument as the PS4 Pro, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it is. But I mean, the PS4 Pro actually has games. Like, you can still play the back catalogue of your PlayStation 4. For me, if you already own an Xbox and you have these third-party things like a Witcher, I imagine would look amazing in 4K because it does on the PC.
Mm.
But for me, I'm not willing to buy that third-party lineup, and they didn't really bring anything first-party other than Forza, which I have no interest in. Though that game did look amazing, don't get me wrong. So I'm curious to see what the next Halo looks like. I'm curious to see what the next
Halo looks
like. It
was all about the graphics, wasn't it?
It is.
Was it, rather than... because Forza,
this
I guess, is Forza is Forza.
Yeah, exactly.
As it, yeah.
No, it's Forza 7, not Forza 4. That's gone.
Yes, it has.
So, Microsoft's press conference for you.
I thought
bad.
It was good. From the content, the games that they showed, I thought were interesting and felt fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that about it. I'd say in comparison to some of the other conferences, Microsoft one felt fresh and forward-looking, whereas maybe some of the others... not so much.
My worry about that press conference compared to the others was they had a lot of third parties, and I'm curious to see how long that exclusivity lasts.
Yeah, timed exclusives, yeah. I think, is the key word here.
For me, Sony was nothing really new either. I think Microsoft did a much better job than them of showing me new things.
Yeah.
God of War looks great. You know,
Sony
like,
seem to have gone for this more sophisticated angle, don't they? They seem to be, we're the big blockbuster games company. We'll give you that big zombie game. We'll give you the Uncharted and God of War.
Yeah.
These are all character-driven, high-end, human characters.
Yeah,
yeah. There isn't so much fantasy.
It's the Microsoft, like Sony is flipped and gone Microsoft in my eyes. Like they do in the Microsoft press conference of like the 360 heyday where they're showing you Call of Duty, they're showing you Destiny, they're showing you all of these big budget games.
Yeah, whereas before they were the indie studio.
Yeah, exactly. When they had to, they embraced innovation and now they don't. They're like, cool, we're out there saying, hey, we embraced. Like, you know, we sold 26 million consoles or selling the Xbox. Oh, by the way, original Xbox compatibility. Totally happy with that.
With the Xbox Duke controller.
Yeah, fucking A. Why not? let me have my dinner plate controller.
Well,
back.
My original Xbox has died a death. So though I do have another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll embrace backwards compatibility. They've got Crimson Skies announced for that.
Why not? Hey, man, if they make Steel Battalion backwards compatible, guess who's biting a giant fucking mech controller?
Oh. Anyway. So Sony's press conference, did they mention Yakuza, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
Not in the press conference.
That was in Sega's thing. Ah, okay. Yakuza 6 is coming though next year. I'm very happy about that.
No Shenmue, it was all God of War, all Uncharted.
Yeah.
It was,
not even any Square stuff, actually. They didn't hold their own press conference. They dropped a Kingdom Hearts trailer, but I mean, obviously with Final Fantasy 7 disappearing back in the woodwork.
But where's that innovation? I remember when they had that Dreams game that Media Molecule were working on. With the move remotes, it was like, wow, this was really interesting and offering me something new. Yeah. Whereas majority of games they're offering didn't have the originality.
Be honest with you, like the biggest thing of their press conferences was like, oh shit, that's going to sell a few units, is Monster Hunter being finally on a home console.
Yeah, never they really played Monster Hunter. And
hey man, one of the biggest selling games in Japan, that's a massive home console, for them. And also the fact that now I can play it in the West. And have that experience. And Capcom came and set out, they were releasing Monster Hunter XX, which is the last one for the 3DS on the Switch, and they're not going to be doing that outside of Japan. So it makes me think that that's just a thing to help Nintendo out a little bit in Japan, and this will be the main Monster Hunter game now. Mm.
God of War was brief, wasn't it?
God of War was very brief. It looked very cool.
It looked cool. I mean, it'll be a great game.
Yeah. But Knack 2 is
I nearly forgot about Knack 2.
Not supposed to be that bad. I'm kind of curious.
You wouldn't have called Knack that bad, really. You found it an average experience.
Is what I thought Knack was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Knack 2 is more than bland, then it will be an improvement.
If Knack 2 is all it's cracked up to be, it'll be good.
But there was no announcement of Spyro remaster like I was expecting them to. They didn't lean towards the more kiddie side, did they?
No, it's a shame.
But we didn't mention Sea of Thieves in the Microsoft conference.
No, we didn't. I mean, it looks very much like what they experienced at Gamescom, but now you can swim, which is cool.
Yeah.
Also, like if that ends up being like Pirate Destiny and that progress carries on and the loot you get actually does stuff, I'll be very happy.
And also Ubisoft also had their own pirate thing,
Skull and Bones. Yeah, I forgot about Skull and Bones,
Skull and Crossbones?
Skull and Bones. I hope that isn't just on ships. I hope there is more.
I hope it's not just
Assassin's Creed
I hope Black Flag boat combat.
Yeah, because that was the worst part of that game. That if that's all they've taken away from that, then they've completely missed the point of why people wanted a pirate game. Anyways.
And Bethesda, Evil Within 2.
Yeah. For me, that's forgettable. I didn't really enjoy what I played of the first.
I really enjoyed what I played of it. Didn't finish it. It didn't keep me hooked like Shadow of the Damned did.
Yeah.
If they had have announced Shadow of the Damned 2, we all know everyone would be.
Oh, God. That's all we would be talking about in this podcast. Anyway, in the interest of time, Tom Parry.
Nintendo.
What do you think? New Metroid Prime? Kirby?
Yoshi and Kirby was... Okay, no surprises there. It's not been long since Woolly World. It was hard for me to get excited about Yoshi. Kirby... I've got a backlog of Kirby games to play, including Kirby's Adventure on the Wii,
which
looks similar to this.
Yeah.
This obviously looked the nicest Kirby's ever looked. It was really a throwback to classic Kirby. I'm sure it'll be another great Kirby game.
Sure it will.
Not particularly exciting.
I will play it because it's a Kirby game. I will play Yoshi because Yoshi's a Yoshi game. But
and that'll be great, but So Metroid 4 was the big announcement from Nintendo. I've heard that Retro aren't developing it.
No, they are not. It's a new studio, apparently.
Which, you know, let's see how that turns out. I'm not the hugest Metroid fan, so for me it wasn't the landmark announcement
I'm
it was for most people.
I'm more interested in the 3DS game Samus Returns.
Which was announced in the Treehouse extended part of the press conference.
Which is a 3DS remake of Metroid 2, so I'm super happy with that.
Done by Mercury Steam, is it?
Yes.
Who I think did Castlevania.
Yeah, yeah.
The latest Castlevanias, which were quality titles. I played a little of that first one and liked it.
So it'll all be good in the hood.
It should be. I mean, the original creator of Metroid was present.
Yes.
And he was talking about the game. I assume he's had some involvement to keep it true to its roots on the... But there's also this free fire mode, which looks fantastic, isn't
it?
That Samus can shoot in all directions.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
So that's a great one. And the Pokemon announcement actually made me make a noise.
Okay, so you're going to buy a Switch then?
I don't think that game's coming along for a while.
Probably
by
not.
By the sounds of it.
I mean, if they were showing stuff for 18,
it's interesting
that wasn't there.
They would even mention it. I think that was maybe some of the response they've had from
the backlash
Ultra Sun and Moon, because everyone expected that to be a Switch game.
Yeah.
Now, I do hope whatever Pokemon RPG developing for the Switch is not just another version of Sun and Moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know,
I
can't remember exactly what he said. It was
it's going to be the next mainline story full RPG one. Yeah, because I think people were pissed off about Pokken, but there we go. Talked about that last week.
Yeah, and they mentioned ARMS. They mentioned Splatoon. You know, they're doing these tournaments.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2
cool.
as well.
What do you think about that as an RPG fan? Generic RPG.
Looks like a generic RPG, yeah. I'll probably buy it because, alas, I'm a sucker for a generic RPG, but yeah.
You were saying you were nearly done with that genre.
No,
but this looks totally... What do you think of the British voice acting? It's slightly jarring for me, being British. I don't know why, because you expect American, and that's weird, isn't it?
That, but it depends on the game. Like
Xenoblade Chronicles, the last one,
Was British.
Was British voiceover as well.
There's lots of things with British and JRPGs. I mean, like even some things like Final Fantasy Tactics, all the regional dialect is written to read like British. Like it's a thing.
He just seemed a bit like the guy you'd meet down the pub.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it seemed
where
a bit
odd. It seemed the character looked young, childlike.
Yeah,
and yet it sounded a bit like a geezer down the pub.
Yeah, it's odd. Anyways.
So Mario Odyssey was perhaps, for me, the highlight of Nintendo's press conference.
Me too.
Accompanied by a very catchy theme song, very literal theme song.
Yes.
And that actually reminded me of Sonic Adventure and how there were songs in that game. And this one's still very Nintendo. They kept mentioning Mario 64 and Mario Sunshine. As well. So much mention of Sunshine.
Yeah.
Which was... very surprising.
Yeah.
Sunshine's another Nintendo game that they tend to speak about a lot.
No, not a game a lot of people tend to
nobody
remember
tends to
favorably
talk about
either.
Sunshine, but they're providing us with a open world type explorative Mario game.
I'm curious to see how that goes. I hope there are hubs where you can do lots of stuff, but I'm also hoping there are straightforward Mario levels.
The hat mechanics are great.
Yeah, I want to be a dinosaur with a moustache.
Yeah, that the dinosaur's the first thing you saw, didn't you? And it's like, it was a great E3 moment because, you know, when you see a clip of something, you don't know what it is, especially when it's a dinosaur that. It's very exciting.
It was
Mario.
It was weird. It kind of reminded me of, wasn't there a game on the GameCube where you could possess things?
Geist.
I was just like, oh my god, Mario's literally taking these things' souls. This is awful. I don't know what's going on.
Even humans.
You can even be one of those funny
parking
humans.
A parking meter.
You can be whatever you want, Tom.
Yeah, it looks very free, very beautiful presentation, full of ideas.
Yep.
I hope this will be the... Because it's a very exciting time for the Switch, because you've already got Zelda, then you'll have a great Mario, and hopefully a great Pokemon. I mean, that is the holy trinity of Nintendo. And now a great Metroid, hopefully.
Hey, man, like this year is shaping up all right for them. I mean, you know, you got a Mario Kart, admit it's a release, but not a lot of people played it. You've got Zelda, you've got a Mario title, you've got Splatoon, you've got ARMS, you've got new IP as well as some established things. Then you got Mario, and then you got a JRPG at the end of the year. Everyone's happy.
And you get a Squidgy Metroid Amiibo.
No, I will buy
it. Did you see that?
I will.
The Squidgy Metroid Amiibo.
Yeah. Right.
Sonic Forces.
Sonic Forces looks way too serious for its own good. Sonic Mania looks amazing.
You know, it's, you know, I'm not so surprised at the tone of that, considering some of the older 3D Sonic games, you know, had a more edgy tone.
Yeah.
So this looks a return back to that.
It looks like it's got the same tone as Sonic Underground, the cartoon, and I'm not okay with that, Tom.
I don't know. It looks like more of the same to me.
Yeah.
It looks like Sonic Generations, and I like that game. Yeah. I'll play that. Sonic Mania is probably the more tempting title.
Yeah, that's fair. More stuff's coming out of the woodworks as we speak, but as we said, we won't be podcasting
over the
weekend. There's
a sushi game for 3DS.
There is a sushi game for 3DS.
This is not a headline.
Was it really?
That's not. Well, I mean, that's not a big thing.
No,
but
I thought...
The fact is, they didn't announce a lot of 3DS games.
No, they didn't.
Which makes everybody think, I guess,
that
moving
the Switch is
towards
taken
the Switch.
Off so much that they can do that now, which is good for me. Anyways, we will not be doing a longer podcast. This is our podcast for this week. It'll go up slightly earlier, probably. So if you are listening to it and I got around to putting it up earlier, hey! If not, then ignore this bit. But I might.
But we thought it was very important we got this one out because E3 has been a very reasonably exciting time.
Yes.
And we just wanted to share our thoughts on what had been going on.
Exactly. And there won't be a podcast, a regular one this week. So we thought, well, we'll record this. Then you have something. Bada bing, bada boom. I'm sure you're sick of hearing about E3 opinions, but there we go. Now we can move on to bigger and better things.
Our opinions matter, Matthew.
Exactly. You should put that on a t-shirt. Our opinions matter, Matthew. TM. Anyways. Okay, cool. If you've liked this podcast, you can find us in the usual places on Twitter at TMAcast, on Facebook and Instagram, the same place, as well as listening to the podcast on blastprocess.com, tomamattattack.com/podcast, and finding us in iTunes, where you should give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. Cool. Oh, well, Tom, enjoy your trip.
Oh, thank you.
And
yes.
I will enjoy...
I'm going to the Czech Republic.
Being in a wedding also in Denmark.
For a wedding, yes.
So that'll be good. Yeah.
Well, weddings all round.
Weddings all round. Not my own. Not yet. Exactly. Cool. Until next week, then, folks. Have a great weekend and game on.
Game on.